Well, good evening, Harvest family. I made a genuine effort to take a nap this afternoon, and I did not get up, but I did not sleep much. I think I slept about 5 or 10 minute intervals, and then other things were going on. But anyway, I did get to lay down, did put up my feet. I trust you folks got some rest, so if I fall asleep, Brother Cherry, just sing a little louder before it's my time. Well, we're glad you're here tonight. Let's go ahead and stand together and have a word of prayer. Looking forward, we have a missionary letter from the Love Grove family a little bit later tonight, so it's exciting to hear what the Lord's doing there in Ethiopia. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you and thank you for your goodness, the blessings of joy, of service and fellowship. Pray that you meet with us tonight, that you encourage and strengthen us, help us to lift our voices and hearts in song as we worship you through the music. And Lord, I pray that you just minister to us tonight, help us to glean and learn some things from the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. There's no gentleman, only man coming tonight as we prepare to take our offering up tonight. Brother Leonard, we ask God's blessings on our offering, please.
Father God, thank you so much for this glorious day you gave us, Lord. Thank you for the good service we had this morning.
Amen.
And Father, for our pastor, we're so appreciative of the solid teaching and instructions from your word that he bestows upon us through your Holy Spirit, Father. We look forward tonight for another good feeding. And Father, we thank you for joining us here at Harvest Baptist. And each one that's here, Father, is just longing for your return. Thank you, Father, for the abundance you've given us this week. And as part of our worship now, we'd like to give back a portion of what you have given to us for the ministries that we support here at Harvest and also for the needs of this church family. And Father, we thank you for all the love you've shown to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Jesus.
Have your Bible tonight. Let's look together in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 4. And while you turn there, I will fill you in on a few things and for tonight. I am doing something that I have never done before. I know I am teaching and two things tonight I've never done before. I'm teaching tonight a little bit of an introduction of a series that I'm working on that I think I would like to use some time or portion on a Sunday morning. I realize I'm preaching to the choir tonight on Sunday night, and typically on a Wednesday night, but you also are often the ones that give me some good feedback. And so the idea of where I'm heading is I'm working on a new series, and the title is Serving in God's Family. If you've noticed, since I've been here as your pastor, I use the word family a lot. I say harvest family every single service, sometimes more often, because it's important. I mean, the Lord made that very clear. Are we not sons and daughters? So that's family. And so we're talking a little bit about family. And I also talked a little bit last week, and I'm just kind of doing a temporary pin in our series on Do You Really Know What You Believe? As we ended up with the Holy Spirit and we talked about spiritual gifts. So I wanted to carry this over one night, and I'm going to ask you to do something at the end of this. I am not going to demand you do it, but I have a spiritual gifts test for everyone tonight. It's only 46 questions. I did it in about 6 minutes. It's shorter than some that are out there. It is longer than some others that are out there. It is a tool. It is a guide to help us, give us some input and ideas. You can keep it to yourself. You can share it. You do with it whatever you want. But I want to encourage you to do that tonight. Or if you don't feel comfortable, take it home, pray about it, and do it later. But I am going to give you some time tonight to actually do it here while we're here. And then add up the numbers. For some of you, you may have to kick off your shoes to do the counting. It's real easy. It's a one being the least strongest answer, and five being the absolute strongest answer to the question. All the questions are 10, 12 words. Very, very short. And it's just a guide. There are other tests out there that are more detailed and more oriented in some other areas. And so we'll look at that here a little bit later. But it talks a little bit about prophecy and also talks about more than just a gift, but a calling to for equipping and encouraging others. Ministry of helps is one of the fields. And then teaching, exhortation or encouragement, giving, ruling and administration, and mercy. And I think I've shared this once before. I remember the first I took tests like this every year in Bible college, and one was the other test. I can't remember what they call it, sanguine temperament test. And then when I came back off the mission field from our first term, it was a rough 4 years. I came back, I literally scored a zero on mercy, where I was peaked out before we left to go to the field. And some of that is because of things that take place in our life, situations, happenings, things that affect us, sometimes not dealing with things in the right way. It causes us things to be skewed of who we might normally be. And I plead the temporarily spiritual insanity from that test, because things have improved and gotten better since then. And then we'll get to that in a few moments. But again, I'm honestly considering, this is just introduction, and this it's a series on serving in God's family. And I thought about doing this, maybe the series on a Sunday morning, or just an introduction on a Sunday morning a little bit later in the future, and help. And the aim is trying to get more people involved, men and mothers, realizing how important it is for them to not just invest in their children at home, but also in church, and being around church and godly and spiritual things is my goal and my aim. So Nehemiah chapter 4, and we'll read verses 4 through 6, and then it's just the introduction, then we'll talk more about the spiritual gifts. And hopefully you'll see kind of where I'm trying to do and my motive in doing what I do. Nehemiah chapter 4. Now, after Nehemiah heard how Sanballat and Tobiah, that were enemies of Israel, had mocked the Jews about rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, he prayed. And let's look at what he said in verse 4, 5, and 6. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Sounds similar to some words that David has used in some of his Psalms. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Now here we see the amazing results given to us in verse number 6. So built we the wall, And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Let's pray. Father, we love you and do thank you for your goodness to us, your mercy, your grace. I pray that you'd help me tonight, give me clarity of thought, mind, and speech, not to be in a hurry, and Lord, just to be a source of blessing and encouragement, to give our folks here tonight a glimpse into some things that I'm working on and studying and in hope and goals of my heart and mind that I'd like to see going forward and getting others involved. And sometimes it takes the older generation, it takes some more grounded, the more mature in many areas to set the example and to lead the way. And I pray that you'd help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the contributing factors in Nehemiah's remarkable success of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem was the attitude of the builders. The attitude of the builders. One man can't do it. Two or three people can't do it. Yet we may be able to accomplish much, but the aspect and the idea of serving in God's family, teamwork, and working together. Notice that phrase again, the attitude of the builders. For the people had a mind to work, the latter few words in verse 6. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse number 10, the Bible says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And I can draw a lot of conclusions and sports analogies as a kid growing up and being on ball teams. There is no doubt we were to give our all. I had a football coach, Mr. Walker. If you weren't giving your all, he would call you a scrub and threaten to put you on the scrub team. And that was a little bit derogatory in a sense. In other words, you weren't giving your all. He didn't care if you're the starting quarterback. He didn't care if you're the starting tailback. If you wanted to be a scrub in practice, you'll be a scrub during the game as well. He challenged us to give and to give our very best. This verse describes the builders or the people's desire to work, desire and their work ethic concerning the things of God. So it wasn't just builders. To make it a little more personal, they were the people's desire. Anyone involved, they didn't have to be skilled, they didn't have to have a craft necessarily, but they were involved in contributing in some way. Oh, that we might have the same dedication and enthusiasm in our work for the Savior today. How are we working? What are we doing? Is your work ethic what it needs to be for the ministry of Harvest Baptist Church? Is our work ethic to the status and the level that it could be or needs to be in our service for the Lord? An anonymous author wrote, let God possess the little that you have. Serve him to the limit of your capacity. Give him your 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he will feed the mass multitudes. Never despise what others may deem only ordinary gifts. Use them with fervor and spirited devotion, and you will find that little is much when God is in it. Some often we consider and think, who am I, or what can I do, or what is it there, and how can I be used? But yet, we need to remember, are we trying to do something for others? Are we trying to do something for accolades? Or are we just trying to minister, hoping that God gets all the glory? And that's what it's all about. God will equip us and give us the things that we need. If every good gift and every perfect gift comes above from above, will we not also agree that God has the ability to give us a gift at any stage, any time of our life? It doesn't have to mean something necessarily that we're... So we hear the phrase of people about being born so gifted. Yeah, there's many things that we can do in the flesh. But I also believe that God develops and gives gifts and talents and abilities as we grow into them as we serve the Lord, as used to minister to others. Even as in the days of Nehemiah, the right attitude of heart will multiply our achievement. What is our motive? Why are we doing what we do? Of course, the key is the right attitude, the right attitude of heart. Having the right attitude of heart will compel you to get involved and to labor where you can. I get really encouraged with that attitude of the right attitude and the attitude of heart. One of our granddaughters, Thea, she loves to do crafts and she loves to do little things, but every time she does a craft, every time she does something in that area, from the very beginning, it's always she wants to do it for somebody else. And there's been a few times where she's wanted, like all the girls wanted gowns or a body pillow that mom or Grams made for them. But most often, majority of the time when she wants to do something is because she wants to do it for someone else. And sometimes we get a little confused. Jovi, the younger, who's still developing and still learning, she did a craft where she thought when she was doing it that she was going to do it for Papaw. And she did it, and I don't think she did it for me. I think she did it for herself or someone else, but she showed it off and showed it to me one day in my office, and look, it was so nice, and she says, Papaw, I did it for you. I said, thank you, and I took it, and I put it on my desk. She has come by on several occasions looking to make sure it was still there. One time she wanted to take it. I said, no, that's mine. You gave it to me. You might say, well, that's me. Well, no, I'm trying to teach her a principle. One day I may give it back to her when she's a teenager or a preteen. I don't know. I said, didn't you give that to me? Didn't you make it for me? Yes, Papaw. I said, then it's mine. And I put my coffee on it when I set it at my desk. It's a little coaster. And then one day, as a teaching tool, I will give it back to her. But the point I'm trying to make, are we doing in reluctance? Are we doing it for show? Are we doing it to impress? Or are we doing it as unto the Lord and using our gifts, that souls might be saved, that boys and girls would learn and grow in the things of the Lord, other adults would benefit and learn and be encouraged by your gift? Again, labor includes both physical and spiritual when we labor or get involved in ministry. The preacher and a handful of people shouldn't have to do it all. Over the years, I have enjoyed reading church bulletins and some humorous sayings, and some are very informative and some are quite funny. But I ran across the excerpt, as I mentioned this morning, entitled, Help Wanted. Warriors who are willing to engage the enemy through prayer. Witnesses who know the Word of God and manifest it in their lives. Ordinary men who have done all will stand before the truth and righteousness in our day of compromise. Ephesians 6:13, as I use also this morning, wherefore taking you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Wrestlers, or wrestlers, depending on where you're from, who are spiritually fortified by grace and able to recognize sin, grapple with evil, and take a stand for holiness and do the right thing. Men who will obey the Great Commission and are able to catch men. Sadly, it is often said in most churches that 90% of the people do the watching as 10% of the people in weariness do the serving. And sometimes I wonder if that's not 95 and 5, but nonetheless. However, in the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Please take note of this last statement, but by love serve one another. Do we still have that heart of a child who just wants to please their parents, to please our Heavenly Father? Like one of my granddaughters that I mentioned, that has a desire to do things and make things for someone else, or see something in the store. I get encouraged when I hear people, and some of our ladies recently did this. They saw something in the store, and most of Michelle's favorite store, and some of you other ladies, Hobby Lobby, saw something that made them think of Michelle, so they bought it and they gave it to her. I got a little chuckle out of it when I saw it. But the point was, you thought about someone. The Lord put someone on your heart. And how often do we miss that opportunity where the Lord may be saying, hey, this will encourage them. This would bless them. This would lift their spirits, that encourager spirit, to encourage your gift that you have within you. Make sure you listen to that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. God is looking for servants. And let me tell you something that you already know. God blesses servants. But he's also looking for servants. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26 and 27. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. I'm asking you tonight to respond to our help wanted request, to consider your talents, your abilities, your gifts, and how you can be involved. And again, I'm presenting this to you with the idea and the aspect of something that I want to do at a future date on a Sunday morning. It may be one of those sermonettes before the main sermon, but something of that nature sometime in the near future. So I would appreciate some feedback, a little talk a little later in the week. But I need your help. Our church family needs your help. Our community needs Harvest Baptist Church to thrive and to serve. How many churches in our community, in any given community, have something that's a little bit lacking? Many of them have the aspect, and they're very much involved in their community. They're going out, they're doing things, they're helping the homeless, they're doing food and providing food and having food shelters and doing a lot of things. And I think those things are wonderful. But the only problem with some of those churches, you would be hard-pressed to fill a thimble with the gospel if you showed up one of their services. We need a good balance of not only serving within our church and serving with our community, but staying true to the whole counsel of God in preaching the word. I was encouraged, and I think I may have said this morning, but some of the feedback from our services this past week with Miss Nancy's homegoing, of the amount of people that were happy to hear that the gospel was preached and presented. I even heard one guy made the comment that you use the name of Christ more in that one sermon than use it all here, all year at our church. Of course, what I wanted to say was, well, come on over. We do it every week, every service. But the point, again, I want to make tonight in this aspect as we think about it before I give these sheets out, serving in God's family. And the best way to start out in serving in God's family is asking, okay, what is it that I have that I can give back? And how can I? You don't even have to know what it is. You just may say, look, Pastor, I don't know what I can do, but I want to do. I want to be involved. And as a pastor, and any pastor will tell you, they get encouraged and excited when people say, look, I'm not sure what I can do, what I'm qualified to do, but can I do something? Can I be involved? Can I give back? And so often that's where many areas begin in service for the Lord, where they start somewhere being involved. And I get encouraged. And we had a young man in our military ministry that said, Pastor, I want to be involved. I want to do something. What can I do? I said, okay, I'm going to hook you up with Brother Sam. At that time, Brother Sam was our usher, lead usher. And he got him involved, and he was ushering. What even a member? And he got involved, and he did that for several weeks, maybe several months, and really seemed to enjoy it. He'd come to church, and he'd come all spit and polished and had his hair slicked back, and he'd just stand there smiling with his tray, just couldn't wait to be involved in taking the offering and serving. And several months in, he came by and he said, Pastor, man, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to serve and be involved. And I've noticed he started getting to church a little bit earlier, started to linger a little bit. He took those ushering things in the airs of helping people. And he'd even show up on occasion to help to blow and clear the snow when the weather was bad. He just latched on. And then he said, well, preacher, I think I need to do more. I've really enjoyed this serving others. Just I know I'm not talking and I'm doing the whole thing. I'm just trying to help people, but I think God wants me to do more. I want to do more. What's next? I said, well, the first thing is you've made a profession of faith. You need to be baptized and be a member of the church. That's your first next step of obedience. Okay, next week. Can I get baptized next week? I said, yes. So we sat down that week. We went out and went over salvation with him again. Make sure he understood. He got baptized. And then he wanted to begin taking on more responsibility and wanting to grow and learn in the Lord. And it starts somewhere. And sometimes, monkey see, monkey do. In the sense of when people begin to see other people serving and getting involved and wanting to help and asking questions and encouraging, and they begin to find, okay, where do I fit in? How do I fit in? Or a gentleman asking someone who's been coming around a while, attending the service, maybe not a member yet, but say, you know, getting with Brother Dave and say, hey, I'm on the list to be an usher next week. Why don't you help me out? Why don't you do it with me? I'm sure whoever else is helping wouldn't have a problem with setting out that one Sunday and that person wanted to be involved in some way or wanted to step in to get them involved in some capacity. Now, I've got these lists tonight, and as you get them, if you would like to begin, you don't have to read over it. I'll read over some of it. But basically, it's a short question. A 5 means it's an absolute truth, and a 1 means it is not any truth whatsoever, and you choose a number between 1 and 5. Again, I'm not demanding you do it. I'm just going to encourage you to do so. You've got yours with you that you did already? No. But I want to encourage you to. You want to go on the other side? And again, this is very short. There are more in-depth out there that can be done if you so desire. You've got a few. Keep one for yourself, Dave. And I'm going to keep some of these on file for future reference and others that may ask about it. But we can do one of two ways. Dave, you just figured they didn't have anything to offer. Did you give one to Brother John in the back? Oh, you ran out. Now, I can just be quiet and let you read through them, or I can read it out loud and you just circle the number. Okay, I'll read them out loud. I'm going to start with reading a couple of verses of Scripture there on the front. The first passage of Scripture, 1 Peter 4:10. As every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That's 1 Peter 4:10. Now, the great result of using your gift is that the entire church family ministers to each other and to the community. So, and we'll go back and number them and do some other things. I'll read some more verses in a moment. So let's go ahead and start as you take and open up on the inside, taking the spiritual gift test. Again, 5 means being the strongest answer, being a definite yes. 1, of course, is a definite no, and whatever the balance you feel comfortable with in the middle. Number 1, I am always looking for a practical way to help. And I've already filled this out. Number 2. And usually your first thought, your first answer is the right one. I enjoy public speaking and teaching. Mine used to be looking for a 0 and it wasn't there as a young man. Number 3, I find it easy to motivate people to do the right thing. Number 4, I am a take charge person who can usually bring order out of chaos. Number 5. And remember, that's to bring order out of chaos, not chaos out of order. Number 5. I am very sensitive to the emotional state of others. Number 6. I am able to discern wise investments so as to have more to give. Number 7, when people are in my home, I like to wait on them hand and foot. Number 8, people often tell me that I have helped them understand things better. Number 9, I am always uplifting those who are around me. Number 10, I can organize people and delegate easily. Number 11, I am an easy mark for stray animals, especially if they are hurt. Not me. Number 12. I'll just go ahead and say it. Number 12. I have, because it does say animals, it doesn't say people. Number 12. I have a desire to give quietly without public notice. Number 13. I often stop to help motorists in trouble, if not dangerous. That one's hard because we live in a different world today. I kind of answered that based on before COVID, personally. That's how I answered it. Number 14, I prefer systematic Bible teaching as opposed to a series of unrelated topics. I prefer systematic Bible teaching as opposed to a series of unrelated topics. Number 15. When people ask my advice, I suggest a definite course of action. Number 16. I enjoy a team effort more than doing the work myself. Again, these are no right or wrong answers. Number 17, people in emotional distress often come to me for comfort. Number 18, I am motivated to give unto the Lord at his prompting, not man's. Number 19, I sometimes get irritated when others don't jump in to help. Number 20. I find it easy to illustrate spiritual truths and to make them clear. Number 21. I tend to be optimistic, always giving hope. And I think that's before and after coffee. Amen. Number 22. People who talk about problems but never take action irritate me. Number 23. I am sometimes accused of being too soft on sin. Number 24. I have a desire to give gifts that are of high quality. I have a desire to give gifts that are of high quality. 25. I find it most impossible to say no to others. 26. Disorganized messages with no outline irritate me. Kind of like my rambling the other night. Number 27, even in failure, I see the potential in people. Number 28, I am a goal-oriented person. Number 29, I am reluctant to confront people. I don't want to hurt them. 30. I have an ability to test faithfulness by how people handle funds. I have ability to test faithfulness by how people handle funds. 31. I prefer a behind-the-scenes role. I am not an upfront person. 32, almost done. I get upset with people who uses verses out of context. I get upset with people or when someone uses verses out of context. 33. I am able to encourage others even when I am suffering. 34. I am pushy and demanding, driving people to the limit. 35. I love ministering to the sick, to the poor, and to the handicapped. 36. It is important to be involved in meeting the church's financial need. It is important to be involved in meeting the church's financial need. 37. I find it difficult to delegate. It is usually easier to do the job myself. 38. People tease me about being a bookworm. People tease me about being a cheerleader. And I'm not talking about the rah, 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 firecracker, firecracker. I'm talking about it in like the encouraging sense of motivating people. 40, some say projects are more important to me than people are. Some say projects are more important to me than people are. 41. Others tell me that I am a good listener. Others tell me that I am a good listener. And last but not least, number 42, when giving to God's work, it is important that I consult with my spouse. When giving to God's work, it is important to consult with my spouse. Now, as you see there on the bottom, underneath the spiritual gift test key score, look, number one, just go back to number one and write down whatever score. Look at number two, write down whatever score, all the way through the 42 questions across, and then downwards, add them together. Give you a few minutes to do that. Six across and seven down. If you put the same number on everything, if you know your multiplication tables, you're through by now. Don't be discouraged. I have several ones on mine. Don't be discouraged. You should have a few ones, maybe a few fours and fives and in between. I would hold on to this. Somewhere along down the road, you may want to do it again just to compare in your spiritual growth, your compare in your challenge and response to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Believe me, the first time I took this test to now, it's night and day. Kick your shoes off, Tony. It's easier to count that way. And your socks. Yeah. Michelle's always barefooted, so I didn't have to take my shoes off. Again, this is just a guide. Nothing definitive, nothing that can and will not change through the years of your life. Like I said, many of mine changed in many, many tremendous ways in mine through the years. First time taking it my freshman year of college and then my senior year and even taking it the other night. Encourage you again to hold on to these, pray over them. Maybe down the road you might want to do it again. You might have an interest in it and want to look for something a little more detailed. Again, this is very short. I'll go over some of the headings and then I'll say a few more things and we'll be done. Prophecy, more than just a gift, a calling from and equipping by God to preach His word. Ministry or helps, a desire to serve and to help God's people. Teaching, the ability to teach God's truth, helping people understand how His Word applies to them. Exhortation and encouragement, the ability and desire to encourage others in the Christian life. Giving, the ability and desire to give to God's work and God's people. Ruling or administration, the ability to lead and administer part of God's work. Mercy, the ability to feel the pain of others and help them during trials. Mercy. So I'm not going to ask anybody to reveal their scores. Just simply going to ask you this. Anybody not surprised at their scores? Because I try to do this every so many years anyway. Anybody surprised of maybe some areas of their scores? Okay, that's good. So hopefully it's a surprise and wow, here's something I can develop. Or here's something maybe I need to consider. If your mercy was one, let's consider working on that. But there might be something else you consider to develop and to grow. Hopefully, as believers, again, honesty is the best policy to know and evaluate yourself and read how God may use and develop. And I'm going to be really honest with you, and then we'll finish tonight, hopefully to encourage you. And that is, I scored, first time I ever took it, I scored very low in helps, in mercy, and in giving. Oh, no, the first time, what about my freshman year? I was mercy off the charts my first time I took it. And right before we left for the mission field, I was almost zero. I couldn't be zero because no zero was available when we came off our first term on the field. And that's another long story. Happy to talk with you about it if you'd like to hear some stories or know why. But it was a rough first term. And then teaching and encouragement and administration, honestly, still, mercy and administration is my two lowest scores. Not that they're low, but they're lower than the other ones. Still in the 20s, but those things change. My teaching and encouragement was not what they are today, but I really think things change. I would rather dig a ditch than to stand to be called on. I would hide so the preacher would not call on me to pray. I was nervous to death. When I pastored my military church, I knew all the guys that were trying to hide because they did exactly what I did. And guess what? Whichever one's hiding the most is the one I always called on to pray. And then through the years, I changed a little bit and tried to talk to make sure, okay, are you willing to? Is it not put someone in a bad spot? But these guys were all soldiers and put on a uniform. I didn't care at that particular time. But let me encourage you to, pray about how we can be involved. Think about what I said tonight in my introduction, because I am working on a series of serving in God's family, which would be several weeks in the aspect of doing it sometime in the future date. I do my best in my sermon preparation, then we'll finish. If realizing as I pray and ask the Lord to help me, I have a congregation to preach to. And I also keep in mind sometimes of the maturity level of our congregation and realizing it's different on Sunday morning than it is Sunday night and Wednesday night. But I also have a burning desire to preach and to teach at times, not knowing who may not be here, but to try to challenge those no matter where they're at in their walk with the Lord. So other times, sometimes it might be a little bit on the lower shelf as far as your abilities in learning and grasping Scripture. But I really want to prepare and be able to preach a balance in ministry no matter who's here, whether it's a younger, growing Christians, younger, not made professions of faith, or seasoned, mature. And sometimes that's the hardest part of preaching and teaching, is to be able to keep everyone's attention no matter what spectrum or level they are in their spiritual walk. And I think you folks are seasoned enough to understand that. But I really have a desire in this aspect of serving in God's family and saying, Lord, help me to present this. Help me to teach this. Help me to, and give me examples and illustrations to use to pull out some of these younger people to get involved. Because sometimes people will come to church because they know they need to do something. They know it's a good thing to volunteer. They know it's a good thing to give back. And they think, well, a church is a good place. But really the first thing they need is Christ. And then with that attitude, it naturally fill in and develop, disciple them, and get involved in ministry. So pray for me as I try to develop more in this aspect of serving in God's family and doing it sometime in the future. Pray about the tests and things that are in front of you. Go over it. If you didn't finish it all, do it at a later date. But ask yourself again, what am I doing? Can I be doing more? Am I doing too much in some area that maybe I need to focus more on my talents and gifts here that I see here that I might be more effectively in ministry here? The balance is not over-exercising, but being involved in areas that you're gifted at and that you can develop to be more gifted in helping others. Because I'll be the first to tell you, if I think you're doing too much, I'll say, okay, but what are you going to give up to do this? Because I don't want anybody to be spread too thin and fall into the category that sometimes people burn out. And I'd rather burn out than rust out. But I think you understand what I'm saying. We don't need to spread ourselves too thin. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. It is already 7:01. Time has just flew by tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and fellowship. Pray that you'd help us as we pray and we seek your will, as we study Corinthians and 1 Peter and the aspects of gifts and things that you've given us and things that you want to develop in our life and how we can give back in that area of ministry. Father, help me in my study and my preparation to keep a good balance in presentation, ministry, and teaching and preaching. Now, Father, dismiss us with your love. May you be uplifted and glorified in our conversation and fellowship, and help us to strive and look for opportunities this week to encourage, to witness, and to be a part of someone's life, someone we know or someone that may be new to us. We ask these things in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. All right, as always, God loves you, His preacher loves you. If I can be helped to you in any way, please do not hesitate to ask. God bless you. You're dismissed.